So if you see anything anywhere, it doesn't matter. They could be in town. They could be on top of Mount Rapinski. They could be anywhere.
Cornell University is among several organizations asking Chilkat Valley residents for their wildlife sightings. And 80 local swimmers are hoping to break one big record this weekend. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. If you see a mountain bluebird, or an American robin, or even a pileated woodpecker, groups like Cornell University and the Audubon Society want to know. Scientists are looking to Haines residents to collect data about wildlife species in the Chilkat Valley this spring and summer. Pam Randles is the education coordinator for the Tokchinook Watershed Council, and she says the Species Watch Project is the latest chapter of the Citizen Scientist Program.
Some of these birds are rare, and some of them aren't rare. Some of these birds, what we're looking at is any changes in their migration date patterns. For example, one of the birds that's on there is a rufous hummingbird. And last year, we had some hummingbirds that stayed really, really late. Other places are reporting hummingbird behavior is changing. So rufous is not an uncommon bird here, but the dates of arrival and departure have been changing. And that's similar with robins and some of the others, the surf scoters and whatnot.
A watch list available through the council describes the 10 birds and one toad that groups are interested in monitoring. And the counts could indicate climate changes or population and migration changes among bird species.
Then some of these birds that are on the watch list, like the bluebird and the woodpecker and the doves and the tanager, are new to our area. They haven't been coming here for very many years. And so we're monitoring the changes of these bird populations and incoming weird new birds, because those kinds of things tend to indicate potential climate changes or habitat changes. And so we're trying to monitor those. Now, the other one that's on the watch list is the rusty blackbird, and that one is a bird that is in decline, and the Cornell Lab is monitoring that one.
Citizen Scientist has been gathering technical data around the Chilkat Valley for different organizations for almost a year now. And the scientists have been school students and Valley residents who get a chance to be part of the scientific process.
We've been monitoring bear-human interactions in the Chilkoot. We've been monitoring eagle migration, the fall migration when they come up to the Chilkat. We've been looking at boreal toads, where they're going, what they're doing, what their success rate is. We've been looking at invasive plant species, identifying their locations, and also testing out some sort of plant eradication things for some of these invasive species.
Randall says the watch list will be available at the council's new website around April, but it's out now because of what was beginning to feel like an early spring. Alaska has been experiencing what weather experts have called a snow drought, and Skagway marked a record high last Friday, 6 degrees hotter than the 1970 record of 44 degrees. And those oddities could be confusing the birds as much as they are the humans.
Granted, I'm putting this watch list out a little bit early because it's looking very spring-like. The original plan wasn't to put it out until later, but I'm not sure what the weather's doing, so I'm putting it out early, and our website isn't quite ready yet.
In this project, expert birders as well as hikers and casual observers with bird feeders are valuable. Randall says the birds could show up in yards for a period of time, while others will make random appearances as they're passing through.
First and foremost, I mean, if there are bird watchers, bird books are very helpful. We hope to soon have on our website increasing numbers of photographs of our local birds so that people can look things up and look at what the local birds look like. But in the meantime, there are checklists available at the Convention and Visitors Bureau. There are several bird books that are good. If somebody sees something and they can get a picture of it, then give us a call and we'll work with them to identify it. Or if they get stuck, they're seeing something in their yard every couple of days or something, give us a call and we'll come out and take a look and see if we can identify it.
Sightings of birds like the yellow-billed loon, the Eurasian collared dove, and the western tanager can be reported at the council at 766-3542 or tokchinook@gmail.com, and should include the bird species, date, time, weather, and location.
That's why we are asking the general population, because we don't know exactly what these birds are going to do. So if you see anything anywhere, it doesn't matter. They could be in town, they could be on top of Mount Rapinski, they could be anywhere.
By this weekend, the biggest athletic group in the Chilkat Valley is trying to raise $19,000, more money than the Haines Dolphins have ever brought in before. Swimathon is an annual pledge drive for the Haines Dolphins Kids Swim Club. It started about a month ago, and it ends this weekend with a marathon swim in the Haines Pool.
On Saturday at 9 o'clock, you know, the team's going to hop in the water, and they're going to swim for 2 hours straight, as many lengths as they can.
Swim coach Steve Vick says the fundraiser amounts to one-third of the team's budget, and last year the team raised a record-breaking $18,500.
This is our biggest fundraiser. Our goal is $19,000, and we really count on these funds to help us purchase new equipment. I know right now that the pool's in need of new flippers. We did just buy a new gear locker for all the equipment at the pool. Every year, every member of the swim team gets a new team cap, and we do all this kind of stuff, and all this is swimathon generated. I have 3 assistant coaches. It helps pay for that, too. So it's really important.
The community can show support for swimmers in several ways, says Vic, either by pledging or by visiting the pool on Saturday.
One is certainly by pledging to a swimmer. If you know a swimmer on the swim team, just pull them aside and tell them you want to sponsor them. Or you can do it at home on the internet. You go to HainesDolphins.org. And yeah, boy, we really encourage people to come by and just peek in on Saturday morning and just hop in there and see what it looks like. It's really amazing to see how we can fit 60 swimmers in the pool all at one time, swimming back and forth with all their parents at one end, counting all the lengths that they swim. So it's a lot of energy. It's a lot of fun.
Swim season is well underway, with 14 athletes just back from Southeast Champs Swim Meet in Ketchikan. Again, swim coach Steve Vick.
The Southeast Champs is a qualifying meet, so kids have to swim a certain speed, a certain time in every race, and they qualify per event. So if they have a certain time in a certain event, they qualify to go to this meet. We had, I think, 36 kids total who qualified. Obviously, not all of them went.
Even with a ferry schedule that whisked swimmers away before finals and before their opportunity to score points was done, Dolphins still placed well overall.
What was really exciting was to see that Brittany Bradford, who, despite the fact she had to leave on Sunday and not swim two of her events, still took third place high point. She got first place in the 100 IM and the 100 breast. She got second place in the 500 free and the 200 IM, and she got third place in the 50 free. Keegan Zumberg, another kid who most likely would have been in the top 3 in the meets, but again, since we had to leave early, wasn't able to finish all his swims. But he swam great races. He is 6 out of 7 best times.
Southeast Champs is like a regional meet in school sports. Swim season ends in April with Alaska Age Group, Alaska Senior Champs, and Junior Olympics serving as state-level meets.
And it really serves as a great way for the younger kids to get the experience of a championship meet, meaning that there's 5 or 6 other teams there. At the state level, there's 20 other teams there. Several hundred swimmers, and it brings a certain intensity to it. It also, for the older kids, you'll see this in the Olympics, where they have the preliminaries, where everyone will swim an event, and then the top swimmers will actually swim in the finals in the evening. So it's a good preparation for that type of system, where you swim in the morning, and if you make finals, you swim again in the afternoon.
The meet also gave some students their first taste of traveling for competition, which Vic says is an important part of organized sports.
We had about 5 or 6 kids that had never been to Southeast Champs, and a few of them actually had never even been to an away meet, which was really exciting. These are younger kids, and when they come back from a meet like this, they walk a couple inches taller, they come to practice, and they're veterans. They come to this, and you know, there's 300 swimmers there. It's a big, big meet for them. And so they come back with just a great experience in general. Haley Sweet came to her first ever away meet. She's an 8-year-old girl. She came with a chaperone, so she's away from her family, and she was away from her home pool. And her very first event, she was pretty nervous, and she did great. She ended up getting third place, so at her first away meet, she got her first third-place medal. What a great experience for her. I think it was Keegan Palmari, one of the kids, the last day, said to his mom that this was the best vacation he'd ever had. So that cracked me up. Like, that was the quote of the meet for me, for him. Hearing that, one of the kids forgot it was even a swim meet and thought he was on vacation the whole time.
There are 2 meets left in the Dolphins swim season, the Junior Olympics in Anchorage in mid-April and UConn Champs in Whitehorse in late April. Skagway Panthers played cake last week, beating the Thunderbirds in all of their games. On Wednesday, the girls won 53-17 and the boys won 74-48. Then on Thursday, February 18th, the girls beat the Thunderbirds 47-28 and the Panthers boys won 80-57. Glacier Bears had mixed results against Sitka last weekend, with the boys winning both home games and the girls losing in Sitka. On Friday night, the boys beat the Wolves 67-63 and Saturday 45-40. Stay tuned to KHNS for scheduling information and coverage of the Region 5 basketball tournament, which starts on Wednesday, March 3rd in Sitka. More basketball coverage continues later this week with results from last weekend's Dick Hotch Memorial Basketball Tournament. Reporting for KHNS, this is Tara Bicknell. What is news to you? If you have a story idea, email news@khns.org.